Our scripture lesson this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 19. We will read verses 1 through 15. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 15. It's found on page 51, if you would like to follow along. The scripture we're reading today actually is what follows what we read 2 weeks ago. If you remember, there was a big contest up in Mount Carmel with the priest of Baal and Elijah. You know, they set up the altar, and whoever is the real God was supposed to send the fire down and consume the sacrifice. And this follows that event. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent the messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Meaning she's going to make sure that he is dead by tomorrow noon. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus." This is word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please join me in prayer? We thank you, O Lord, for this time of worshiping and for your words for us. As you speak to us through these written words and through the words that are going to be proclaimed. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, that you are truly the living God who lives and works in our midst, so that we may not be discouraged, but we will receive the strength to continue to serve you in our world, for peace, to bring your love. We pray all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. How are you doing today? Good? Really, how are you doing? And where are you? And what are you doing? Some of these are very simple questions, but actually, they could be loaded questions. The first thing I learned when I entered seminary was when you ask a person, how are you? And if the person just says, good, ask again, how are you? You know, honestly, I'm not doing very well. My heart hurts. You know, through the whole week, I've been watching the images from Orlando, the shootings. I've been hearing those stories over and over again. And I've been seeing the names and the ages of those who were killed senselessly last Sunday. And then there are 53 more who are struggling for their lives because they've been wounded. You know, how can we be okay when we hear such news? And then we hear of this 2-year toddler who was killed by an alligator at a Disney World resort. You know, and I think about the parents and what they must be feeling. And I'm not okay with that. It hurts to hear that and think about those families, the parents, the grandparents. It's, you know, what kind of tragedy is this? And then we heard again, this is all within a week, a politician in Britain, you know, a young woman with promising career, with so much to do for the world, was brutally murdered. All because she stood for the good of the people. That Britain should open up and welcome immigrants who are looking for a better life somewhere else other than their homelands. So when I hear all these news and see all these images, I'm not okay. And I guess one of the first reaction as I'm feeling the pain in my heart is, oh God, I just want to run away. Like maybe I could, if I could go to the moon or the Mars and just live there, maybe it would be better, right? Because you know what? I think all of us, we experience, in a way, sort of emotional PTSD. You know, we weren't there. We haven't actually experienced it. But hearing all those news and seeing those images, in a way, it puts us right there. And image after image, event after event, you know, those violence after violence, hatred after hatred, I feel fatigued. Just hearing and seeing those happenings. Oh no, one again? Yeah, don't we all feel that? Again? So in a way, all of us, we are kind of feeling the fatigue of like, enough is enough. Where is this world going to? And see, for me, I'm a firm believer that if there is even one child in the world who is not safe, then none of our children are safe. If there is even one person who is threatened for their life, for whatever reason, then all of us face the same threat. Because some of us think that, well, nobody we know are directly involved with the shooting in Orlando. And it's so far away, it's thousands of miles away, so it doesn't affect us. No. No matter how far it happened, be assured, it could happen right here. None of us are safe. And so we feel like running away. And you know, that's a very natural response. Psychologists have a name for it. They call it the fight or flight syndrome. Whenever we are faced with danger or conflict or anything that we don't like, the basic human instinct is either to fight or flight. And we are seeing a lot of that also through the media. So some are in that fight mode and say, okay, then we need to stop all the Muslims from coming into this country. It's like, really? That's the best solution? So then what are we going to do when some white people, you know, we've had incidents where white people have shoot other people, so then are we going to deport all the white people out of this country? And then there are flight expression, where people start saying, okay, I don't want to listen to the TV anymore. I don't want to listen to the news. And, you know, bury our heads in the sand. In our scripture lesson today, Elijah was faced with threat against his life. He's been struggling all his life, ministering to Israelites who have turned their backs on God and who are worshiping Baal, the idols. And he's been struggling so hard to turn people back to God. And now with this threat against his life, he's had it. It's like, okay, I'm done. So he's running. He's running away for his life. He runs and runs and runs to the point where he's just so exhausted. And now he's depressed. He's tired. He's fatigued. So he comes and falls under this broom tree and says, okay, God, I'm done. Just kill me now. I can't deal with this anymore. I don't have the strength. God ministers to him by sending angels with food so that he can be fed, nourished. And as he's nourished and given the strength, God brings him to Mount Horeb. See, Mount Horeb is a significant place because this is where it all started. Mount Horeb is where Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. Mount Horeb is the place where God promised to Israelites, I will be your God and you are my people. So God brings Elijah to Mount Horeb to where it all started. Basically, what God was doing was bring him back to basics so that Elijah can remember who God is, who he is, and have that reconnecting moment. As Elijah is in a cave hiding, God asks, "What are you doing here?" In our moments of disappointment with the world, in our moments of pain, in our moments of withdrawing from the news, from other people, God asks us, "What are you doing here?" Elijah says, "You know, I've done so much. I've worked so hard. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm struggling. And now they want to kill me." And we say the same thing. God, this world is so filled with so much hatred, violence. I'm afraid. Afraid for the future of our children. I'm afraid what this world is coming to. And God says, "Meet me." And God shows Elijah. There was great violent wind, and Elijah said, "God wasn't there." There was the earthquake. Everything is shaking. God wasn't there. There was a great fire. God wasn't there. But then there is a small whisper. Words calling Elijah's name. Asking Elijah, "What are you doing here? Remember this place. I am here with you." And in that whisper, Elijah encounters God all over again. And when he did, the heaviness lifted. He was given the strength back. And now he was refreshed, renewed. And God says, "Go back. Go back to Israel. And here are things I need you to do." All of us experience the fatigue, the sadness, the heartache. And some of us, I'm sure, we feel the depression if we spend enough time with all the violence and hatred. The remedy is that we have to come back. We have to come back to God. We have to reconnect with God. We have to hear the whispers of God. God's words are what will restore us. God's words are what refreshes us. God's words are what renews us so that we can go back out there, back to the world, with the message of peace, with the message of love, with the message of Jesus Christ. So, my brothers and sisters, let us not be weary in doing what is good. Let us keep the hope. And when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel it's too much to bear, come back to God. Listen for his whisper. And renewed, refreshed, so that we can continue to be the light and the salt in the world. Amen.